Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the City Council. Today is still Wednesday. It is 2 p.m. and it's still Wednesday, October 24th, 2 p.m. We have two time certains to deal with today. Carla, can you please call the roll?
Leonard. Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman. Adams.
Here. Quorum is present. Let's proceed. Could I please have staff come up? And Carla, would you please read item 1202?
Adopt the Central City 2035 Concept Plan.
This afternoon, the City Council will hear the results of a two-year planning effort for the Central City 2035 Concept Plan. This plan succeeds the landmark 1988 Central City Plan. The success of that plan was to create a creative and vibrant place for people. But we can't rest on past accomplishments alone, and the Central City CC 2035 concept plan establishes the framework to continue this role for the next 25 years. The plan is the first plan developed with the Portland plan as its guiding framework. Planners and citizens, residents, were challenged to apply the directions of the Portland Plan, equity, prosperity, education, and health to a district. The key strategic direction for the Central City Plan is set out the Central City as a center for innovation and exchange and strengthen the Central City as a living laboratory. The concept plan is the first step in a evolving process. The concept plan provides an overall framework for the four quadrant plans. The North-Northeast quadrant plan, which we will consider tomorrow, is the first of these plans to develop specific strategies for the smaller geographies within the Central City. The Central City establishes the overarching policies and key actions to achieve the aspirations of the Portland plan. Susan Anderson and Troy Doss will now present the Central City 2035 concept plan. Thanks to Susan and Troy and to the Central City Committee chaired by Chet Orloff and Michelle Rood. We really appreciate all your work. Director Anderson.
Thanks, Susan Anderson, Director of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. And with me here is Troy Doss, who is the project manager for the Central City. As the mayor indicated, the purpose of today's meeting is to present a new Portland Central City plan. The plan that's before you has been about 2+ years in the making, and it's actually Portland's third Central City plan. As you all know, we did the first downtown plan. Well, we didn't, but someone did back in 1972. And at that time in 1972, the plan sort of laid the groundwork for reviving downtown. It led to the development of Waterfront Park, light rail, the transit mall, making streets more walkable and safe, and encouraging ground floor retail and restaurants, things that we just take for granted now. We have to remember that this was really unusual at this time, because if you think back to 1972, most of the country was turning their backs on their downtowns. We were expanding freeways. We were moving to the suburbs. For me personally, my parents, we were living in Detroit, and they decided we should all move to the suburbs of Los Angeles, because living in the Central City for them was not an option. Things have changed. So Portland, in 1972, was way ahead of its time. It looked ahead, and it embraced the potential of what the Central City could be. The second Central City plan was completed in 1988. It extended the concept from just the downtown over on the west side to thinking of the Central City as being on both sides of the river. There were nearly 500 specific action items in that plan. 90% of those have been completed over the past couple decades. Many of them succeeded because we targeted public dollars to leverage significant private investments. Everything, things that we just take for granted again, South Waterfront Park, the Pearl, the Rose Garden Convention Center, the Esplanade, all of those things were a part of the 1988 plan. So now, 2012, nearly a generation later from 1988, the world's changed. We've come full circle. Many people want to live downtown. Many people want to work downtown, young and old. They want to live in a more walkable urban environment. So the plan we're presenting today is for the next 20-plus years till 2035. Metro estimates that by then we will have 37,000 new households, and 42,000 more jobs in the Central City. And the one thing that we know for sure is if we don't want to be San Francisco, a place where job growth has been pretty stagnant for 20 years, we want to be a place that has more housing and more jobs in the Central City. To wrap up, the Central City Plan will provide a good framework for a public and private investment. It will help guide and build healthy, walkable neighborhoods in the Central City and help ensure that specific areas stay focused on employment. So what does the plan look like? Well, you've heard a lot for the past 3 years now about the Portland Plan. That was the big picture. This takes it down several steps and gets us down into the details. It will ultimately include the four quadrant plans that the mayor mentioned, north-northeast, northwest, southwest, and the central east side. To keep things moving over the past 2 years, we did the north-northeast plan concurrently. The result is that you have a package. Today you will consider the concept plan and the central city plan, and tomorrow we'll present the north-northeast plan. And we did this, 4 years ago now with the new bureau. We did this because, in part, for a decade or so, often we would hear that planning was moving too slow. And we really wanted to show that we could pull all the pieces together, quality data, business participation, broad community involvement, and get it done in a timely way. So we have the package of both the concept plan and the north-northeast quadrant done together. So I'm going to turn it over to Troy, but before I do that, I want to thank several people. The co-chairs, Michelle Rood and Chet Orloff, who were at the advisory committee. Chet couldn't be here today, but they did amazing work, a lot of hours, and gave us incredible guidance. And also my staff, Joe Zender, Steve Awada, Troy Doss, and Alyssa Hamblin. And also Mark, Laura, Leslie, Nicholas, Stephanie, Diane, and Carl, and Jonna from the mayor's office. Each of you played a part in developing the plan. So thank you.
All right. Good afternoon, Mayor, Council. I'm going to give you just a quick overview. I think we've heard it, so I'll do this very briefly. But the Central City 2035 concept plan is part of a larger effort. Hang on just a second here. Problem with this. All right. So it's really to update the 1988 plan. So we're going to be replacing the policies, the urban design direction that originated from that plan, update the district plans that have come along since then, and start to develop some new implementation strategies. That would be zoning tools, could even go into things like urban renewal plans or other types of capital projects. And it's really a plan that's hopefully going to help guide us for the next 20 plus years in the Central City in terms of making decision making and investment. As noted, it's an outgrowth of the comprehensive plan. So it will be adopted as part of the comprehensive plan's overall policy strategies and will lead, again, to some implementation efforts such as updates to the zoning code. But it's an outgrowth of the strategic level planning that came out of the Portland plan. And as you can see below, it's an effort that's really started about 2 years ago and will continue on for about another 2 years, maybe three, as we go through these subsequent quadrant plans here. So in terms of how we develop the plan, we really did this in two phases. First, we had a goal setting and issue identification phase where we had an advisory group, met for about a year, had 13 different symposiums on very specific issues, housing, transportation, the Willamette River, urban design, historic preservation, and really dug in with a group of experts on each of these issues, tried to identify the full range of things we would want to at least consider addressing as we developed a new plan. Sorry. Next phase came is concept plan development, and that's where we really engaged the steering committee, took all that raw material from the prior phase, and started to distill that down into the urban design concept you have before you, as well as the policy framework. The starting point for this conversation really was the 1972 plan. It served us well, it continues to serve us, and what came out of this plan is, you know, big moves such as the transit mall, implementation of things not yet named, but places that became Pioneer Courthouse Square, Samaqual Waterfront Park, look at restoring the retail core to a more vibrant center, providing ample parking for the businesses and retail community, ensuring that there was good accessibility coming into the city, and looking at really a preservation of affordable housing that was really starting to bleed away from the central city and increasing that supply as well as the overall supply of market rate housing in the central city. In 88, about 15 years later, they come back and look at how does this translate to areas beyond that downtown core, so the areas north of Burnside, looking at places that we now refer to as Old Town, Chinatown, and the Pearl. And then really most significantly, looking at how those functions that really felt like the central city on the east side of the river started to become incorporated into the downtown, the center of the region. So looking at the central east side, the role of MLK Grand Corridor, the Lloyd Center, the Rose Garden, and the lower Albina industrial area. Lots of big moves also coming from that. Some of the most notable ones, there's this emphasis on livability as an economic development strategy, which has actually been pretty beneficial through the flows we've had over the years in the economy in Portland. We haven't gained as much jobs as we wanted to in 88, but we've been able to maintain and create a very resilient environment as a result of those moves. Housing was a big move. Originally, they were proposing about 5,000 housing units. We've accomplished development of over 15,000 in that period. And over 50% of that in the rental market is actually affordable, people making less than 60% of a median family income. So there's been some big moves that have occurred. And this was really all became a response from a time when, which is kind of worth remembering, that in the 1950s, just after the war, downtown was still a pretty vibrant center. You had full block development, ground floor retail, a lot of people living here. And then as, which happened in most other American cities, you started seeing this kind of flight from the urban center for this dream of the suburbs. So with that came housing. With that went jobs and retail vitality. And some of the urban form of the city, rather than being full block, was being demolished so we could start making room for the automobile. And the downtown really was transitioning to a daytime-only employment center. So the 72 plan and the 88 plan were a response to that, trying to bring people back into the urban core, preserve the fabric we had, and then rebuild and retool. So as a result of that, today we have about 35,000 people living downtown, about 23,000 housing units. So the policy direction that the steering committee and advisory group really started with was, how do we look at really enhancing the urban development of the central city, its role in providing housing, and as well as community development? How do we broaden our transportation system, enhance public safety, enhance the role of the river, and a number of other key functions for the central city? And that translated over to this new policy framework. The first big identifier of the whole framework for the steering committee was to establish a strategic direction that really built on what is the role of the central city as a center for innovation and exchange. And what the steering committee had to say about that, and I think you'll hear more about that later in testimony, was that this is a very unique place in the fabric of the region. It is the only place where you have the zone capacity, the density of uses, the mix of uses, where you really start to see the ability for businesses and higher education and people in general to meet, exchange ideas, and to really create something special here that really can't be created in any of other town centers around the area. That does set us uniquely aside as a place where we can do significant job growth and housing growth. So we do have the ability, as Susan said, to accommodate about 32% of the city's growth over the next 25 years in terms of jobs and about 20% of the housing. Out of that thinking emerged this kind of five areas of policy development. First one's regional center and innovation. And it really looks at what's the city's role, or the central city's role, I should say, as a unique center for accommodating all of this growth and this density of uses and synergy. How do we connect with the universities and universities with businesses? How do we connect that with our citizenry? How do we take all of those advantages and make it a more competitive city center as compared to other West Coast markets? One of the big keys here we have is livability. People come here all the time to look at how we've done it. And that's it's kind of the thing that sets us unique from other town centers or city centers around the West Coast. A very highly attractive place for businesses to want to locate because the amenities that are there are attractive to the employees and to people who might want to live there. So livability is a key function, and also our multimodal transportation system is highly valued by others. You look at the beyond just rail connections with light rail, you have streetcar, you have bike ped connections, and you have automobile capacity. Next, the policy area looks at housing and neighborhoods. The 88 plan really looked at housing and trying to bring people to live in the central city, but didn't look much at community development. So the new approach here is a series of goals and policies that talk about really how do we bring in a broader diversity of housing supply. Right now, about 80% of the housing downtown consists of one-bedroom and studio apartments. That's not a real good long-term solution for when we start seeing the growth of families with children, for instance, a growing student population, a growing senior population. So we need to diversify that housing stock, also start bringing in essential services that are important to people who want to live here, access to schools, parks with playgrounds, community centers, and other services and amenities that serve people of all ages, abilities, and incomes. And also continuing our efforts working on human services and people at at-risk populations. Next, it's taking a slightly different approach to the Willamette River than we had in '88. I think this is a really something that's an outgrowth of the River Renaissance process, but the 88 plan really looked at the riverfront as more of an urban design amenity. We still think that's very important. It is the primary form-giving element to the city. However, it could be used better to improve the environmental health, looking for opportunities for habitat restoration along the bank of the Willamette, looking at areas where we can actually start to bring in some commercial uses that maybe aren't there that might help to activate it. And just looking at how we can generally start to turn the form of the city to face the river more than kind of turn its back towards it or kind of shoulder towards it, if you will. The other is in continuing our efforts towards human health, river health and habitat. And one of the things we heard a lot through this process is the ability to actually start to use the Willamette as a recreational resource. How do I go and get my feet into the water? How do I get down to the water to either observe or to row or to do anything? Right now, it's kind of a barrier to a lot of people. We don't really have a good area to people to either access it by docks or beach or any other type of common function. You might find in other cities. Next is looking at the urban design component to it. This builds on what we've done in the past, but really starts to look again at the river as a primary form-giving element of the central city. How do we start to turn the urban form towards, not away from this from the river? How do we start to enhance the districts that we've seen emerge over the last 20 years, as well as districts that are due to emerge here in the next 25 years, the Lloyd District, Old Town, Chinatown, Goose Hollow. And then how do we start to use the public realm to provide a broader range of uses and experiences to the citizens of Portland? Right now, about 45% of the landscape of the central city is actually in public right-of-way. There certainly can be other ways to use it beyond just transportation alone, and a way to accommodate both transportation and a mix of uses that starts to really create a more vibrant area. And lastly, our last policy area here really looks at health and the environment in a different way. Historically, it's been more about stormwater and watershed management. What was really important idea from the steering committee here was that they looked at the central city as a living laboratory demonstrating how an urban center can be created to accommodate both watershed health but also human health. Beyond just green buildings, looking at the development of green districts, even beyond the concepts of the eco-districts program, looking at how you can transform the entire central city into a connected system, if you will. Next, supporting this is this urban design concept that emerged. And what you see here is, again, looking at the river as a central system. This first diagram here on the right-hand side is really more of a system diagram. So it kind of looks at the main components here. You have a major river running through it. We have your two sides of the city facing it, or at least intended to face it. Then you have this system that's really emerged over the last 25 years. Before, you really came to the central city through an east-west orientation, but now beyond the freeway loop, we have improvements such as the East Bank Esplanade and the river loop around Tom McCall. You have a considerable amount of new bike and pedestrian infrastructure that's emerged, as well as the new streetcar loop that'll be closing here soon when the new light rail bridge is completed in South Waterfront. So you have a whole new way in which the central city starts to circulate. And off of that, we start to expect seasons and growth because we have a tremendous areas of potential growth as demonstrated on the diagram to the left. You have areas in the North Pearl, the Rose Quarter, Lloyd District, Goose Hollow, University District, and areas in South Waterfront and South End of the, great, South End of the Central East Side. And these areas, we think, really have a tremendous ability for future growth and probably areas where we'll see the most growth in the next 25 years, in part because of the new infrastructure that's being developed and in part because of the development that's occurred or infrastructure that's been developed over the last 20 years. Its full potential hasn't been realized. So here we go again. Okay, so just to walk you through this real quickly, this diagram here illustrates how we see the city starting to transform over the next 25-plus years. And most of these buildings here in yellow would be new development or some development that currently exists. Mostly it's new development, though. And so what you start to see is this concept of creating a central river, starting to try to turn the city more towards the river as opposed to away from it. We don't really turn our back on the river per se here, but what we do is we tend to kind of face the other direction. Most of our orientation, the central city from an urban form standpoint, is north-south. It's not east-west. So one of the next steps you would want to pursue then is how do you start to orient people closer to the river itself and to the region beyond. So we would look at how do you use unique districts that are outside the city center and connect with districts that are inside the city center as well as the river itself.
Is that a new canal around the river, or is that a boundary?
I'm going to come to that.
Okay. So. That snuck by me.
It's you'll see it. You'll see it in a minute. So then the next move, which you're going to hear a lot more about tomorrow, is really establishing an east side center and a new hub for the central city on the east side. We've had the potential there. We've put a lot of investment into the Lloyd area for a long time. Its best years are ahead of it, but now we have a plan that really starts to come together and establishes that area as a mixed-use neighborhood characterized by residential as well as commercial development, vibrant retail, and a hierarchy of streets that better move you through and to the district. Building on that loop concept we talked about earlier, you take a look at the southern bookend here, an area that is commonly referred to now as the Innovation District. How do we start to make connections with the light rail bridge that really unites the growth of South Waterfront with the growth of PSU and with the entrepreneurial strength that's starting to emerge in the central east side? And similarly, on the north end, we're starting to see that there's another similar bookend, at least a potential for one, with the growth of development along the Broadway corridor in the Rose Quarter, the Blanchard site, as well as properties on the west side of the river, be they the properties in the Pearl District on Hoyt Street properties, the riverfront, or the post office itself. And then lastly is this concept of a new loop that would actually be a loop really designed to build and complement the existing infrastructure that's already there, both bike, ped, as well as rail. The idea for this is to kind of create a more safe and maybe calm way for pedestrians and cyclists to get around, to kind of track that cyclist right now that we haven't been able to capture in terms of concern but cautious. They want to be able to share in this infrastructure as well, but currently they're a little afraid to be in traffic. So maybe we can find some more gentle routes for them to get around and to connect to that larger rail and bike ped system. All of these moves are intended, in the end, to really start to create the center that we've talked about, the center of innovation and exchange, a place where the universities are connected with the other institutions in the city and broader business growth, and really something that we think will benefit the region as a whole. So the requested action here is to have council adopt by resolution the concept plan and direct staff to proceed with the remaining phases of Central City 2035, the next of which would be the West Side Quadrant Plan, proposed to start in January.
So the way this works is that we'll adopt, you'll adopt each one of the concept plan, each one of the quadrants, and then we'll come back with an ordinance at the end to adopt the whole package at once, and that'll be about 2 years from now.
Why don't we go ahead and do the next resolution and then have testimony? I'm sorry, that's a time certain. So do we have folks that are
we
signed?
We have two people that are invited here to provide
And how many folks have signed up?
Two?
That's it.
Do you want questions?
Yep. Quick question, Troy. So was it a misquote when the Oregonian said Beaverton has a higher population density than Portland?
It's not. I guess it's not.
It's not a misquote. It is true.
It's true.
We'll get back to you on it.
Oh, it sounds like maybe some of our testifiers can answer that question.
It's just land mass compared to number of units, so it's a boundary.
Oh, so Forest Park County.
Oh, Forest Park County. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, we are predominantly single-family house city, so that is a fair.
But so is Beaverton. Anyway, I was scratching my head every time I saw that. I figured I'd have my chance to.
So could we have our esteemed guest come up?
Could I just ask a question first?
Yeah.
We got a letter from Wendy Rahm and her with a couple of suggestions, one of which was to keep the name of the district, the West End, in the Central City Concept Plan.
I don't believe we have changed the names of any districts at this point, and actually it's currently, to be technical, it's a sub-area of the downtown district.
She says it's not referenced in the document, and I just read this, so I haven't double-checked.
But, we haven't referenced the Pearl, though, or anything like that either. We really left it at its very most generic state, looking at the entire central city as opposed to the individual districts at this point. We do intend to do that, though, on the quadrant plan, and I think that might be a very good point, is do we identify the West End as its own unique district as we go forth in the quadrant plan?
The fact that it's not mentioned does not mean it's no longer...
It does not mean that. And it's still a regulatory district today, and will continue to be so until some change might be made.
So that brings me to my broader question, which is, what about plans like the West End plan and others? What's the relationship between those already adopted plans and this concept plan, and what would be adopted moving forward?
Yeah, the quadrant plan, well... The quadrant plan will have to readdress those issues. Are those still the right directions we want to go? Are there things that we could do to make them work better? So I don't think there's really looking at any broad changes to the current direction of districts. The West End's a pretty successful district. There might be some complexity in terms of how it's implemented right now. There could be some ways to retool that and make it work a little bit better. I wouldn't say it goes away. And maybe it does become identified as its own district, because as I noted right now, it's really a regulatory sub-area of the downtown district. Another better example might be if you look at the River District, where you really have a distinct Pearl District and a distinct Old Town. Maybe those should be two different districts that emerge out of their current River District, because people don't really recognize the River District other than, I think, us wonks, quite honestly.
Usually when we've done in the past, whenever we've adopted something like the West End plan or something else, it's been added to the comprehensive plan that was adopted in 1980.
Yeah. So that would happen at the quadrant level planning and then the subsequent amendments to the comp plan.
May I finish my question?
Yeah.
Thank you. So is the intent of this to be a complete rewrite so that anything that's not in the new comprehensive plan will not then be the will not be considered as part of the comprehensive plan of the city?
If I could answer that, Commissioner, the intent and what we're doing in the comprehensive plan is to create a new comprehensive plan, but bringing in all of those pieces that we've adopted in the past through various sort of sub-area plans, but looking at them more generally about how they apply to the whole city. In the central city, for instance, when you look at our sub-district plans, they really kind of were in part local planning, but part just because this was the time when there were growth pressures or issues over there that we had to deal with, so you drew a boundary around it and you created a new set of regulations or a plan for it. And one of the issues with the plan today in the central city is that we've done that so many times, the districts are inconsistent and it's not getting us the best result. So what we would do in the central city plan, what we've been doing in the quadrant plans, is pulling into the new work the good ideas that were in that plan. The community is with us in developing them, so what they wanted to accomplish will be reasserted in this new plan, and if any evolution even in that thinking would be reflected in it. Whether or not we still need to draw a boundary around it and have special rules for it, we'll determine once we get a plan and know what the best way to put that plan into effect is. We may not need a separate district. We may just have rules that take care of it independent of that.
Thank you. So citizens who participated in the adoption of those other plans that were then incorporated into the comprehensive plan should be monitoring this process and making sure that the essential elements that they feel are still pertinent get into the new plan.
Absolutely. And the way we set up the process will bring those folks in as well.
Thank you.
And then at the very end, after you look at each quadrant, the council in the future will have the opportunity for fit and finish.
You got it.
So that's why they'll come in by resolution, then at the end they're not adopted by ordinance until the very end.
So it's all done. I'm sure we're going to learn something when we get down to Central East Side that's going to affect what we did in Northeast, a year and a half earlier. And so we want to be able to come back around.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to be clear on the big framework of the whole process, even though we're starting in on this one, which I think is a very good way to figure out and illustrate how we're going to go about it. But I wanted to make sure that everybody watching at home understands the long haul that we're in for. Thank you.
Now our special guests. Anyone else wish to testify on this? Welcome. Thank you for your service, your leadership.
Thank you. I'm Michelle Rudd, Vice Chair of the Portland Planning and Sustainability Commission.
Can you get that a little closer to you?
Vice Chair on the Portland Planning and Sustainability Commission and one of the co-chairs for the Central City 2035 effort.
And my name is Ethan Seltzer. I was a member of the committee here representing Chet Orloff today, who was the other co-chair but couldn't be here this afternoon.
So I guess I will start out then. From the perspective of someone who's been on the Planning and Sustainability Commission and having just gone through the Portland plan process, it was key to me going through the 2035 process and as a commissioner later reviewing it, that the plan actually get incorporated into the efforts that we're doing here. It's sort of our first ability to see how do we actually implement those objectives in a specific geography. And one of the things that I think worked well with the committee was the committee's commitment to looking at what the unique assets are of the central city and how we can leverage off of those to serve the city as a whole. So we've recognized that this is an economic engine for the region, for the city. It's a resource that there are investments we can make here that will assist the city as a whole. In the terms of trying to promote healthy, educated youth, we've got great resources with PSU, with OMSI, with OHSU, and we're making investments and we'll continue to make investments that link those more effectively and encourage things like incubators and the economic development that comes from that. One of the things that I've noticed as I've started touring new business and just general operating spaces is this move toward more collaboration, more spaces that are open, less walls. And I think part of what this plan is trying to do is do that on a city level, which is sort of exciting, the idea that you've got a situation where people will come together, where they will exchange ideas and promote in the city as a whole what we're seeing happening within companies themselves as people try and bring down the silos and work together more effectively. So that's sort of my initial comments on it.
And just real briefly, I would add that, you know, Portland's got an international reputation as being a great place for people. And I think in every way we are striving to be a better place for people. I think a lot of our efforts kind of are directed that way. And people come here to kind of see how we're doing that, what we've accomplished. The 1972 downtown plan was an incredible statement on behalf of creating a human-scale, people-centered downtown at a time when downtowns across the country were abandoning that and trying to compete with the suburbs by being automobile-scaled kind of replicas of the environments that were appearing on the margins of cities all over the country. Today, you know, we're in a really wonderful position, in a sense, in that we have a great downtown, but at the same time, we've got more work to do to try and see what we can do to really advance that notion that this really is a place for people. As Jane Jacobs said, you know, a good city is a place where people feel safe among strangers, because in cities, often, you don't know all the people around you, but if you feel safe, you'll interact. If you interact, you'll engage. If you engage, you'll basically come up with the next generation of ideas that will make this place even better. And so what we've tried to do with Central City 2035 is really keep the focus on that notion of engagement and innovation and exchange. And downtown is being a very unique environment in the entire region, if not the entire Pacific Northwest, for that to happen. So it's a very exciting moment for us, I think, because these are powerful ideas, and Portland's got a track record of being able to make good on them.
Thank you both very much for your service. Appreciate it.
And I will put into the record the Planning Commission's letter of recommendation and support for the plan.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. All right. No other discussion or council?
Huh? The amendment?
Yes. I would like to. Okay. I keep asking, does anyone want to testify?
We had two people sign
I
up.
I should call my name.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we have two people sign up. Did you want to do the amendment first, or?
We'll do them simultaneously. Bring them
okay.
up.
Okay. We have Michael Zakochik and Crystal Ilinski requested Great. To speak.
So I'd like to, while you're coming up, I'd like to move the amendment.
Second.
It's been, everyone has seen the amendment, I believe. It's been moved and seconded. Discussion on council. Carly, can you please call the vote?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz.
This amendment is at my request, and I greatly appreciate it being added, and it states that the proposed framework includes the principle of stepping down building heights to the river, originally stated in the Central City Plan, and that it was resolved that the urban design principle that calls for stepping down heights to the river will remain in effect unless a citywide public involvement process in calls occurs. that calls out specific changes that address how and why exceptions to this rule should occur. And I know that Professor Seltzer will remember a vigorous discussion about this on the Planning Commission when he and I were both serving there, so I appreciate this amendment being made. Aye.
Bish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Hi. Welcome, Michael.
Hello.
Welcome back. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
You first.
Me first.
Go ahead.
I'm Michael Zukoich. I have been a businessman in Portland for 36 years and in the Central East Side for 30 years. And I serve on the board of the Central East Side Industrial Council as well as a delegate to the Venture Portland organization. I also am a realtor and a contractor in the state of Oregon. I have come to ask you to adopt or to include our Central East Side Industrial Council's letter to the council, to the mayor, and including the council on October 24th, 2012, where we outlined our support and our particular interest in certain areas of the plan, which include Policy 5, the maintaining of industrial sanctuaries in the Central City Industrial Districts as an employment district, and as well as the Willamette River piece, which became a very prominent part of the development in the concept plan by allowing commercial and tourist access to the river. And I would just like to stress the importance of the manufacturing and the industrial arts jobs that have been overlooked over the last couple decades in terms of not realizing their importance and sending them overseas. What we found is that the engineering jobs that we thought would stay here are following them overseas as well. And the reinstitution of an importance being placed on these manufacturing and industrial arts jobs and the inclusion of them into the Central East Side and the other areas of the Central City were appropriate so that we may build a home for the artists in industry and manufacturing amongst the population that we have already been focusing on bringing into the downtown area. It's important to create family housing in the city and to support recognition of that end because of the scarcity of industrial land in the city. Multi-level industrial manufacturing use is a perfect theme for the Central East Side. And we believe that the people who are involved in the manufacturing and industrial arts, and we have always held this vision, held on to it tightly, and kept it alive in the city so that we can now illustrate the importance of these jobs and this type of culture being included into the inner city culture and making manufacturing and industrial arts a part of an urban fabric so that we obtain a balanced view of life and the inner workings of the importance of these facets of our intelligence. Also, I'd like to thank you for including a business representative into the steering committee. If you look at the people on the page, you'll see that there are very few of us there, and it's good to see you including us in the process. We are very much in favor of adopting the Central City Plan and looking forward to moving on to the Southeast Quadrant planning process.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for your service. Go ahead, ma'am.
Hello, my name is Crystal Elinsky, and I represent 10,000 people. I am glad to be here with my representatives and to follow this plan. I'd like to say first that I'm disappointed about the lack of diversity and inclusion. Not so much in the natural processes that I've seen over the years. I've been living 22 years in Portland and a lot of those years in the inner city. Also, as a homeless person, gave me a very interesting perspective. And so as far as diversity and inclusion is concerned, I think that the focus that I see being talked about for services, housing, it's gone by the wayside. It just, even sustainability, it seems more like a catchphrase than anything. I've also heard this is about innovation and it's comprehensive. But for me, it seems like it's just more the same of Portland's history. There's a focus on real estate wheeling and dealing, Portland Business Alliance, PDC, a lot of concentration on who's got control of what areas, and that tends, when you're talking about collaboration, it tends to become one and the same. Whereas we forget about the history and the people that lived here, and many of my friends that lived here in last generations, and when I lived in North Portland in Elliott neighborhood, they're gone. Their businesses are gone. The people are gone. They've been pushed out by these great plans of Portland with freeways and entertainment centers that I think that we're not remembering what's important about this city, not to forget the people that need help. We continue to ignore, for example, the homeless situation. I also wanted to, I wanted to discuss Lloyd Center and the Central East Side. I think as far as feeling safe around here, a lot of people would say they don't come to downtown anymore because they don't feel safe. And that's mostly because of the police presence and the private security presence. It's very harrowing. Another issue is transportation. I think we should remember and focus on transportation. We continue to lose more and more buses to the detriment of other parts of the city that maybe people do want to come here, but they don't have access, less and less access. People that would like to bypass this whole area in general to get to work or home, they actually have to go through downtown more and more. And it's a clusterfuck, even for people like me on bikes.
You're not allowed to use that language.
Oh, right? I thought I was because of the military, the World War II phrases. I thought it was a common phrase. Okay? It's a boondangle. It's very difficult even on a bike to get through downtown. And so transportation also needs to be a focus as we continue on. Most people I talk to don't even know that these processes are happening. So if we could get the word out more, we might be able to remember these essential issues.
Thank you very much. Carla, can you please call the vote?
Leonard?
It's just always very interesting to me to, having lived here 60 years, listening to people who lament about what Portland was like 20, 30, or 40 years ago. I remember about 10 years ago, I was running for the council, and I went down to a fundraiser dinner. I think it was an AIDS, a fundraiser for raising AIDS awareness, and Vera was there and a number of other people. And I had never been to Wieden Kennedy's new office, and I went to Portland State, and I worked at Blitz Weinhardt when I went to Portland State in the early 70s, right on the spot where Wieden and Kennedy was. And I sat and unscrewed the bottle caps off beer bottles and for 8 hours in the evening after attending classes during the day, left at night, and being with a lot of other young men who worked there, felt fairly secure, pretty dangerous area. We went to the place that we lived downtown, not because it was a cool place to live, because downtown was the cheapest place to live. And as I was standing on this balcony, just kind of remembering all of that and taking all that in, somebody who was from another place approached me and said, "Isn't this beautiful?" And I said, "You have no idea." Where do I start with you to explain the contrast in what was then 2002 and back to the 60s and the 70s and what downtown was like? And I won't bore you all with a boring history of what Portland was like, other than to say it wouldn't be what it is like today without the planning that, it isn't lost on me, it was done under then Mayor Terry Schrunk and the vision he had, and then carried on by then Mayor Goldschmidt and others to develop a downtown that you don't appreciate unless one of two things occurred. You were either here during that era and have been able to be as fortunate as I am to see the great transformation that the city has undertaken, or two, come from another place that lacks the kind of planning that Portland has, or have the ability to go and look at other places and then do a compare and contrast. with Portland. Both of those strategies I have been fortunate enough to experience. So it's indeed a pleasure that and an honor that I get to, in one of my final acts here, update this plan that I have come to admire so much in my adult life and appreciate because it really does involve a lot more than planning. It involves hard decision-making along the way as we implement the plan that creates a lot of times animosity, creates misunderstanding, confusion, and frustration and anger with people who live here. But that is part and parcel of why these kinds of plans are so hard to adopt and then to implement, which in the long run makes people such as myself appreciate so much what they are and why they are. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thank you to all the community members who participated in this and indeed to the planning staff who have led it, Susan Anderson and Joe Zender and Troy Doss. Thank you for your work on this. It's really important. And it's a delight to have this come right at this time. It reminds me why I love being on the council, why I so much enjoy being on the Planning Commission. It's hard to explain to folks how people on the Planning and Sustainability Commission spend so much time and why they spend so much time taking public input and incorporating it into a document like this. And we need to do the study, we need to do the outreach, and then we need to get the plans adopted and put then implementation strategies. And you have to do each step at a time. So we've spent a lot of time on the Portland plan and got that adopted. And it's something we can all be proud of. This is the next step. And I'm understanding that the final product won't be adopted until 2015. And I look forward to being on this dais at that time. It seems like a long time away, but it really isn't when you're looking at planning for the whole city for 20, 30, 40 years to come. Particularly want to recognize Kevin Kilduff in the Office of Healthy Working Rivers and recognize the partnership between the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability and all of the other bureaus in putting this plan together. Very proud of the work that we are continually referring to, looking to the river as our front yard rather than our backyard, and looking at how do we enhance views and enhance the use of the river for pedestrians, for bicyclists, for all modes of travel, and create the built environment that encourages that feeling of safety by the river and the encouraging of people to get to the river now that it's clean and will become even cleaner. Thank Tom Bazo and my staff, my chief of staff. It's truly delightful for Tom and me to have a planning project coming at this particular time to focus our attention on and to be able to support. And then again, I appreciate the willingness to accept the amendment and the mayor's leadership on this, that this is how a citizen process should work, that you do a huge amount of work in the community, you listen, you incorporate the feedback, the Planning Commission then takes a lot of testimony and gets it to 90 or 95%, or in this case, it seems like 99.5%. And there should always be an opportunity for tweaks at the end or indeed for complete revisions if that's called for. It's good to hear both in testimony today and in the input that I got from citizens that indeed we're at the tweak stage rather than the go back to square one. So again, thank you so much for everybody for participating in this plan. Very proud to vote aye.
Fish?
First, I just want to say I appreciated Commissioner Leonard's comments. He has 44 years on me in terms of continuous living in this great region, but it reminds me of I've spent too much of my adult life in airports like Newark and Kennedy and other places. And it's like when people tell me, boy, I wish the Portland airport was better. It's like, well, that's compared to what? I mean, it's maybe you don't travel, but if you travel, you say, thank God for the Portland International Airport. But I had lunch the other day with Dean Nohad Toulon, and he was we were catching up, and he was probably lobbying me a little bit. And I was reminded that so much of what we celebrate in this community is the result of people that had a vision and stuck to it. And I mean, Ethan, he was regaling me with the story when he used to have a little office and a little, what, five-story building right off of Broadway, three-story building. But he came here from another city with a vision for how to create something special at Portland State, and it took him almost 30 years. But today we have the Urban Center and the new building to the south, and we have a Portland state that's on the rise, and so we celebrate that vision and then the tenacity to make it happen. And you think about the people that said, we're not going to settle for a surface parking lot and created Portland's living room. Or folks that said, let's tear down that drive and put a park in. And I'm delighted that Tom McCall Waterfront Park the other day was named one of the great public spaces in America. People that said, you know, yes, there's a question of a barrier to I-5, but we can work around that. We can create a great park and call it, name it after Vera Katz. Folks that didn't look at the industrial district to our north and say it's a wasteland, we can't transform it, but said let's have a vision, and now it's the River District and the Pearl District and on and on. And as someone who has lived in a good number of cities, what I have come to really appreciate about Portland is the number of citizens that had clear visions and then had the fortitude to stick with their gut opinion and carry it forward. And frankly, one of the things I think we have to resist going forward is the temptations a lot of other cities have had, which is, let's see what other cities have, take it off the shelf, and replicate it. And I, for one, would hate to see us become like every other city. But there are lots of voices in our community saying every other city has A, B, C, D, E, and so should we. And what I think is special about Portland is we've actually resisted that. And we've said what's special and unique and organic to our community, not what is expected in cities across the country. And I think that has made us unique. I appreciate all the work that's gone into this plan, and I appreciate that it's a concept plan, and that as I have the good fortune of continuing on council, and I hope to continue to lead the Parks and Housing Bureaus, we'll be at the table with everyone actually implementing the concept plan, and I'm very excited about that. I want to thank Mayor Adams, who has been passionate about this work for his entire 4 years, and Susan and Joe and Steve and Sally, Troy, Carl, and the whole project team. Thank you. I want to thank Andre Baugh and all of the Planning and Sustainability Commission members who worked so hard. And I also want to thank the steering committee and the advisory group, in particular Chet and Michelle, for your great service to our community, and I'm very pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I'm very proud to be on this council when we adopt an updated, or I should say the new vision for Central City. And I just want to say that I appreciate all the work for the Planning and Sustainability Commission, our Planning and Sustainability staff, Mayor Adams, for his leadership on this. And I think there's a lot of good stuff in here. I guess, you know, I too grew up in the Portland Commissioner Leonard speaks of, and I know that, you know, the Central City is definitely a more vibrant, exciting area, and people come from all over the country to live here now, but I am still concerned that maybe our concept plan isn't planful enough about employment opportunities. I think we're not doing good enough in that regard, and we need to continue to figure out ways, and maybe it's not stuff you can really address in a concept plan like it is easy to address stepping down to the river, visions for pedestrian bicycle plans and loops and things like that. I mean, those are the visionary stuff, but you know, if we don't maintain a strong cornerstone or regain a strong cornerstone of jobs in our central city, I mean, it's fundamental to the billions of dollars we've invested in transit. It's fundamental to sort of the life form of this urban area. But I still feel that there's got to be a way we could be more planful about good job growth, not only in the central city, but really throughout the city, because, you know, maybe it's just the perspective I'm sitting from through my own family experiences and all that. But I see too many people unable to find work in Portland, and they're going elsewhere. I mean, San Francisco may be stagnant job growth, but there's more job growth going on there than there is in Portland right now. Ditto for Seattle, ditto for Denver. So we've got to figure that out too. It's so important. You know, you can't enjoy the quality of life unless you have a good paying job. And I hate to, you know, I hope I'm not sounding like a presidential campaign here, but we've got to be more planful about employment growth in the central city and in this region. And this is a good start, but I want to see more. So I'm pleased to support this and laud everybody for their work, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank the Planning and Sustainability Commission, the Planning and Bureau of Planning and Sustainability staff, the project team, the steering committee, the advisory group, everyone who participated in the process for bringing this before us. The fact is that the challenges that we face as a city are too tough to rest on our laurels, and that's why I like the approach to simultaneously work on the 25-year strategic plan for the city, the Portland plan, as we're also working on the concept plan for the central city, and then also the quadrant plan. And I think that doing those three overlapping has helped us to make sure they're integrated, and what we've learned in one, we've been able to apply during these overlapping timelines to another. The measures that this city operates under are tough. 12 measures, and one of them, more than a third of them, are about economic security, and they should be. And we get there by the prosperity, our four goals of prosperity, education, health, and equity. So you've done a great job. I think the process that's been set up, doing quadrants by resolution and then coming back and looking at the whole thing, is the opportunity to for everyone in the city to participate. I think it's a smart way to do it. I also want to thank Lisa Libby on my staff, Rehana Ansari, and Jonna Papamathieu for their work on all this. I'm really pleased to vote aye. So approved. We have a 15-minute break.